This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hi, this is the Father's Love
with Lindiwe
and Bongani Msibi. There's definitely a solution to every question you have.
And together,
we will reveal the true nature of God.
Who is love?
Join us every Wednesday between 12 and 1 as we share in the Father's love for your everyday life.
With Lindiwe
and Bongani Msibi.
Be inspired.
Yeah, be inspired indeed on this beautiful Wednesday, the 15th of June 2022. Can you believe it that we are just halfway through and we are celebrating Youth Day tomorrow? And I trust that you are all excited as much as I'm excited. And I would invite you to go to any church where they'll be having a service for young people, because I know they've got something awesome prepared. I know I have. And yes, of course, good day, good afternoon. This is Bongani Msibi on the Father's Love Show on 729 AM Cape Pulpit. And of course, as usual, I'm not alone. I'm with the beautiful, the most powerful, the most elegant, the blonde today. Blonde or gold, Lindy?
Ah, it's blonde.
Oh, it's blonde. Okay. Blonde hair. And they're asking, what is this blonde thing that I'm talking about? Guess what? You can go live on Facebook. On our Facebook page, 729 Capsa Council or Cape Pulpit, you can see Lindiwe's blonde hair. Yeah. I tell you, it's so awesome. I'm loving it. How are you, sis?
I'm blessed and excited and, yeah, looking forward to the show this afternoon. And I know that our guest for today has a timely, powerful, awesome, a word that shall set us free. You know, that kind of, yes. So I'm looking forward to this beautiful show. So this is the day that the Lord our God has made.
Come on.
Let us rejoice and be glad today. Don't focus on tomorrow. Enjoy what God has blessed you with for today.
You know what's exciting for me, and as you're just saying that you're so excited about this, because today we're going to be talking about the true nature of God and how we
awesome
find ourselves in that. You know,
how
the true
awesome
nature of God, who God is, and who we are in Him. Mm-hmm. And that's so awesome. And, you know, it sort of like reminds me of what we were talking about before we came on air, you know, where people are talking about, you know, how they are praying to the universe. And you were saying, guess
come
what?
On.
Don't even, you don't
come
need to
on
pray to the universe. You just need to pray to the one that created
yeah,
the universe.
Exactly.
Come on. I tell you, you don't want to miss this show today. We have Kizia van Wyk from Kingdom
yes
Faith Life Church here in Cape Town, a young girl, you know, who loves the Lord, who's also doing an internship at Caris Bible College here in Cape Town. So I tell you, child of God, you don't want to miss this show today. Take out your Bible, take out your notebook, and come on.
Yeah, keep that cup of coffee right next to you.
Listen.
Make sure you don't, please, don't even move out of your chair.
There
and
you go.
Get ready to be blessed.
Otherwise, you can join in on the conversation as well by sending us a WhatsApp message on 0817291657, 0817291657, or you can go to our Facebook Live page and make sure that you drop in a comment, a like, share it. Yazin, send us some lovely emojis over there. Otherwise, on Facebook Live, if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, just click below my handsome face over there. Here's Ntoko Zombambo saying, Jehovah is your name. After this, we have Kizia. Oh, wow, wow, what a beautiful song by Ntoko Zombambo. Jehovah is your name. I promised you that today we're going to have an awesome time in the presence of the Lord.
Indeed.
And what a way to start the day, Lindy,
yeah,
with such a
with
powerful
such a
song, I tell
awesome
you.
Awesome song, definitely.
We're it's already be, there.
Yeah, I know. It's already hot in here. We can't wait for Kizia to share the word of God. And I know that our listeners will be blessed and they will receive truth. There's nothing, man, like receiving the truth and being set free from the things that were holding you back. Now that you know the truth, you know how you're supposed to live your life, how who you are, you know, in God, and who God is, who He is really. Because sometimes you talk about the love of God, and at times you don't really, really understand what the love of God is all about. So, yeah, excited to hear what Kizza has to say about the true nature of God and how we find our identity in Him.
Come on. Good day, ma'am. How are you doing today?
Good day, Brother Bongani and Sislin Divi. Now, I am blessed. I'm excited for what God has to share today. And, man, I'm really blessed to be able to be here, to be able to share with these people this morning.
Amen. Amen. We also can't wait to hear what the Lord has laid in your heart. Therefore, without any waste of time, ma'am, take it away.
Amen. Well, firstly, thank you for the privilege to be able to share this morning. And, you know, for me, something God has really been dealing with me is identity, but seeing how it comes from knowing who He is. And a question I want to ask to our listeners today is, who does God say that you are? Who does God say that you are? And you know, wherever you are, you might be thinking, you know, yes, God says that I am His beloved. God says, His word says that I am seated in high places. His word says that I am the righteousness of Christ. His word says that I am healed. His word says that I am whole. His word says that I am no longer a sinner. I'm no longer of the sin nature, but I am now righteous. You know, I am now a new creation. But the question I want to ask based on those answers, whatever it is that you thought of, has who God says actually changed you? Has who God says you are actually changed who you are? And I'm asking this question because, you know, for myself, growing up in church, you know, both of my parents are pastors, so you were born straight into the work of the ministry. You know, I'm not sure who can relate with me, but, you know, you're born straight into this work, you're born straight into the ministry, straight into church, and you have this foundation of who God is. And mind you, I loved God, eh? I heard all about the fact that He was my father. I heard all about the fact that, man, He loves me. That He doesn't love me based on my actions. He doesn't love me based on what I can do for Him and all of the above. But yet, the funny thing is, yet I would still find myself being condemned over things that are not even considered sin for some people. Walking in condemnation, walking in insecurity, walking in shame, knowing that, or let me rather say, hearing that He's my father, but not being able to believe it. You know? And I could see by the fact that I was still walking in all of these other things, even though I was saying, I'm God's beloved, I could see that, man, I did not believe it. And that's the thing, you know, that's why my title is, that's why I'm speaking about the true nature of God, and why my title is actually being able to answer who God is will allow you to be able to answer who you are.
Come on.
Being able to answer who God is will allow you to be able to answer who you are. And I say this because, you know, if you know that God is love, if you know that He is for you, believing what He says about you then wouldn't be an issue. And I can say so because if I use, for example, Lindiwe, if I say to you, for example, if Bongani says to you, you know, Lindiwe, I love you. Lindiwe, you will believe those words because you know Bongani. You know his heart. But if I come to you and say, Sis Lindiwe, you know, I just want to say I love you. And let me tell you, I do love you. But I'm now using this as an example. A stranger
yeah,
comes
to
you.
I will definitely like
you. You know? A stranger comes to you and says, Lindiwe, I love you. It's like, excuse me? Who are you? What do you want? It's actually, you say, what do you want
what
from
do you
me?
Want?
You know? Come on. You know? And that's the thing, you know, the people that you value the most, what they say about you, well, you'll value the most as well.
Come on.
Whoever is sitting on the throne of your heart, their opinion is what you will value the most. And that's why, you know, I want to go into Genesis. But the thing is, that's why I'm also touching on the fact that not knowing God's true nature will affect how you see yourself, but also how you love and relate to Him. And if we can just go to the beginning, you know, I'm going to Genesis 1, and I'm reading from verse 26, and it says here, you know, and this is the sixth day after God had created everything. Then He says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. We all heard that, eh? Mm-hmm. Let us make man in our image. And so he's speaking to himself, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. He's saying, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth. So God created man in his own image. Mm-hmm. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see how God said, let us make man in our image. And then he said, then afterwards in verse 27, it says, then God created man in his own image. And then it says in verse 28, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then I'm just going to go to chapter 2 from verse 7. And I'm going to be reading till verse 9. And it says there, and in verse 7 it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then I'm just going to skip through to verse 13. Or let me rather say verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, mind you, remember we said God created man in his own image. And then now here, God created the Garden of Eden. God takes man, he places him in the Garden of Eden, and he says, listen, my son, you can take part of any tree in this garden. But you see this one tree? Only this one. Don't take part of it. Lest you shall know, don't take part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so God warned him, saying, don't take part of this tree. And then I'm going to go to verse 21. And it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought it to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then in verse 24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. And so, like I said, God created them in his image. He created the garden. He placed man there. He placed Adam there. He said, take part of everything except this one. He created Eve as well. And then if we can go to chapter 3 from verse 1, I'm reading. And then it says there, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now you see here, what the enemy comes to do is he comes to test your knowledge. How much do you actually know? Because the thing is, where there is lack of knowledge, there's room for doubt. And so mind you, he's also twisting what the Lord has said. God has said, you can partake of every tree except this one. Yet here he comes to Eve and he says, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's testing here. And then if we read further, it says there, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Mind you, there we see the other lie. God said, you shall not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you die. Nor shall you touch it. And that's where we see the miscommunication. You know, obviously the instruction was given to Adam. And here, obviously, Adam relayed that instruction to his wife, Eve. Yet, he added on his own flavor.
Eve.
You know? And when the enemy now saw that there was room for lack of knowledge because she had not taken the knowledge she had received back to the Father, she just had knowledge from someone else. There, the enemy saw an opportunity for him to press on. And so the serpent said, then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so the thing is, well, let me continue to verse 6. It says that, so when the woman saw, and I'm going to end, and I'm not going to end there. I'm going to be stopping there for now. My thing is this, when you know someone is for you, no matter what someone else comes to say, It doesn't matter what that person is saying, but if you know the nature and the heart of the person, it doesn't matter what someone else comes to say, but if it's not in line with that person's nature, you won't be second guessing what that person said.
Come on.
You know, if I come to you, Landiwe, and I say, you know, Landiwe, Bongani actually told me that he doesn't want you to come to Karis because he prefers having being alone. You know, he actually doesn't want you around.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest with you. And I'm just telling you this out of the goodness of my heart. You know, I care for you, Landiwe. But I just want to tell you that Bongani doesn't want you there while he's there because he doesn't want you around. First of all, you know Bongani way better than me, mind you. And you're going to be like, excuse me, my dear. You know, I appreciate your concern. But thank you. I will confirm this with my husband. But the thing is, you're not even going to worry about confirming. Because the thing is, you know your husband. You know his heart. You know that those words wouldn't even come out of his mouth. So the same way, when we look here, first of all, God made them in his image. He created man in his image. He takes man, places him in this garden, says partake of everything except this one. And here we see the enemy come, testing this knowledge. But the thing is, what we see with Eve is that, man, she didn't know the Father's heart. And so when the enemy was here twisting the knowledge of who God was, saying that, man, in verse 5, 3 verse 5, it says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Because she did not know God's heart and the fact that she was already made in God's image, she questioned God's, how can I say, reasoning behind his instruction. Not knowing that the instruction that he gave was actually because of his love towards them.
Come on.
Not knowing that the instruction he gave was for their benefit. He wasn't withholding something from them. He wasn't withholding knowledge from them. But you know what? As I read there in verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw. And that is the other thing. You know, she moved her eyes now from who God was, from his nature, from this intimacy that they've been having. And she now looked towards what the enemy was saying. And that's the thing, you know, when we don't understand, when we don't know God's true nature, when there's room for doubt, when the enemy comes with his lies, when there's room for doubt and we don't actually know, then that is when it's easy for us to move our eyes from what God says and to what the enemy says. That is when the words that he speaks over us, that is when what he when he says, you are my beloved, you are my chosen one, you are the apple of my eye, that is when those words are null and void. Because, man, we don't actually know that God's heart is for us. And that when he says these things, he means it. I want to also turn to another example in Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 17.
Luke 15, verse 17.
And that's why I also say here, you know, the view you have of God will directly influence the quality of life you will live as a Christian.
Okay.
The view you have of God will directly influence the quality of life as a Christian. And you know, we know the story of the prodigal son. Many people know about it. We know about the young son that went to his father, asked for his inheritance and said, you know, father, practically what he was saying is, you're not dying quick enough. And so he asked for his inheritance. Exactly. He asked for his inheritance and he goes, he spends it on worldly living and there rises a famine in the air and he wasted all his money. And so he joins himself to one of the citizens of this place. And he ends up feeding the pigs. And he was at such a low point in his life where he was actually considering partaking of the pig's food. Until he remembered, and let's read in verse 17. It says there, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And you know, I was very much like this guy in the sense of you have this idea or foreknowledge of, you know what? I know God is good. I think he does love me. You know what? Even though I've fallen short, man, I used to think God was waiting for me with a stick, you know, waiting to knock me under my feet, you know? And I was seeing that in the way I was relating to him, man, I did not actually see that he was a good father. And so the same way this young son, he says, you're in verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so the young son had the view and the knowledge that, man, his father's a good man. Mm-hmm. And so that's why his servants are also provided for well enough. So, you know what? I know maybe I'm not going to be able to be called a son again. Mm-hmm. But maybe I can just be a servant, you know?
Yeah.
And then it says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, man, and I love this, it says, his father saw him, and his father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And so this also tells us that, man, the father was scanning all along since his son had left, scanning all along when his son would come home. And you know what? The father didn't wait for him to come, but the father ran to him. The father made the movement to him. Mm-hmm. And so even in his mess, in the smell of the pigs and everything, the father falls on his neck and kisses him. And it says in verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. And sometimes we come with this bigger mentality to God that, man, God, you know I have sinned. I know I have fallen short. I know I am not living the life I need to live. And so, Lord, you know, if you can find it in your heart Lord, if you can find it in your heart to assist me, to provide for me. You know what? But I love the father's response here in verse 22. And it says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And so the father didn't take 1 second to even acknowledge what he said. He just cut his son short and said, you know, servants, bring those best robes that we have. Put it on him. Bring a ring. Put it on him. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son, not my servant, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now the other thing is, you know, sometimes we can either be like this lost son that comes home, or we can be like this older son. And it says in verse 25, now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come home, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But you know what? The son, it says in verse 28, but he was angry and he would not go in. And you know what the father does? That says that therefore his father came out and pleaded with him.
Come on.
You know?
And so this older son was angry. This older son was self-centered. And yet the father still came out and pleaded with him. And then it says in verse 29.
With him.
So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Mind you, not even a young cattle or a young calf. You never gave me a young goat.
A young
the
lamb
lowest
or
of low.
Sheep or whatever.
But as soon as this son of yours, came, who has devoured your livelihoods with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.
He was there.
Hey. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves in this place where it's like, Lord, I've been serving you. All these days I've been serving you, and yet this person comes in and look how you just love them. And so sometimes we can see the father's love towards someone else, but we can't accept it for ourselves. But you know what? I love what the father says here in verse 31. It says, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. And so sometimes we can become so busy with the doing. We can become so busy with the work that we lose sight of who God actually is. You know what? I love how in Matthew 16, not Matthew 16, sorry, Matthew 3:17. That God said, when Jesus came up from that water, God called him, said, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Before Jesus had done anything, God had already called him my beloved son. And so the same thing with this son, with this older son, you know, we can become so busy that we lose sight of the fact that, man, God loves us for who we are and for not for what we do.
Amen.
That, man, God is love. That his nature has always been love, and it's never changed, not based on what we've done or doing or will do. But man, God's nature is love. And when we are able to see that his nature is love, we are able to understand that we are sons.
Amen.
We are able to understand that what he says about us is
true.
We are able to boldly go into all that he has for us, boldly step into what he's calling us to do, because we understand that, man, God, you are for me. And so therefore, I don't have to fear what is coming. I don't have to fear what is happening around me. I don't have to fear about my past or my family. But Lord, I can trust you.
Yeah,
I can trust your heart towards me. You know, I love how in Isaiah 26:3 it speaks about he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him.
Yeah.
And so not only are we able to experience relationship and intimacy and walk boldly into all that God has for us, but man, we can experience peace. Because we know that, man, God, you are for me. You are love. You are never changing. You are never failing.
Wow.
Lord,
amazing
man, God, you are for me.
You are.
Tell you what, after this, we continue with Kizzy.
You're listening to Father's Love on Radio Cape Pulpit, 7:29 a.m.
That's where you are right now, the Father's Love Show with myself, Lindiwe, and of course, Bongani, with our special guest for today, Kizzy. I'm telling you, just joined us. You missed out, but don't worry. You actually have not missed out anything.
Yeah.
You can catch, part of the show, the whole show, on Facebook.
Yeah, both.
Right? And also, there will be a podcast.
On
and I know
Friday,
there's a repeat as well on Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow, Thursday?
At 10 in the evening.
So, I'm telling you, I love what Kizia said earlier on, you know, talking about the true nature of God, that when you have the view of who God is, it directly influences the quality of life that
come
you
on.
Will enjoy and have right here. So, come on, if you know the true nature of God, I'm telling you, your view about who God is will definitely change. I am inspired. I am encouraged. I'm everything good. That's all I can say.
No wonder the Bible says we must have a childlike faith. Because when you have that kind of knowledge, as God says, my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. When you have that kind of knowledge, man, you can approach your daddy any time of the day. You know, you can approach your daddy, you know, even when you have messed up. You know, growing up, you know that, okay, you've messed up and you still want to come to your father. Because you know, man, that he loves me. You know that he is for you.
Yeah.
And he's not against you. And you know that your parent is for you, he's not against you. So it is true that when we don't know who God is, the true nature of God, you know, we listen to all these lies of the enemy, man, about our God and about ourselves. And, you know, I'm just reminded of the sermon that I heard this morning. You know, I tell you what Sitle shared was so powerful. That, you know what, we can cast out all these lies of the enemy by making sure that, you know what, we bring every thought captive to the word of God. Bring every thought captive to what God said. You know, I think when you started, you said, who does God says you are? I think that's very, very critical,
very
because
important.
He's the one that created us. I always say to people, because I had to confront myself at one stage in my life, you know, where you get to a point where you begin to doubt yourself and doubt certain things. And I said, but Bongani, what do you think was in the mind of God when he said, let us make Bongani in our image and after our likeness? What did he have in mind? Man, I tell you, I was blown away when God began to reveal. I mean, the mere fact that God had to go down on his knees and plant a garden and get his hands dirty for me. Can you just imagine God just planting a garden, man? You know.
And so joyful, singing because he knows Bongani is coming.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. If only we can get that that revelation or come to that realization. I can tell you now, all the stresses, all the mental health that we're talking about these days, that we're so much, not that we're saying people aren't going through that, but I feel like we're focusing on it too much instead of focusing on the solutions, you know, and bringing about the change that is needed in the life of that particular individual that is going through that. Kizzy, I'm not the guest speaker today. But once I start talking, I tell you, I ain't going to stop. Because once, I mean, you just touched on something that's really, really dear to my heart. Because once we can understand that fact, you know, once we can understand, I remember even my first sermon that I preached to somebody, a total stranger that I gave a lift some years ago. It was on Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. the true name, what was in the mind of God when he said, let us make man in our image.
Like you said, you are not the main speaker for the day. Please let's allow Kizia to finish her message, and let's allow her to, you know, to inspire the young people that are listening to us, even as we celebrate. You know, we are in the youth month, so this is a message for young people. That is, they know who God says about them. Whatever that the enemy brings their way will not influence, you know, their lives. So I'm waiting for more, Kizia. I'm waiting for more.
I think for me, something, you know, just thinking of another story is the story of Hosea. And just seeing how it's totally not based on who we are. God's love is totally not based on our actions. And you know, when looking at the story of Hosea in chapter 3, it says here, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel. And so mind you, the Lord took this prophet and asked him to go and love this harlot, go and love this lady who is considered like a prostitute in our terms. And he says, and love her, you know, like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. And it says in verse 2, so I brought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. And what I love is that man, he purchased her back. He had this wife that was a harlot and left him for other lovers. Even though they had children together, she left him not once, not twice, numerous times. And you know what? He went and he purchased her back every single time. He paid the price of redemption for her actions, not his. You know, if it was in our
God
terms today,
in the middle of the night.
He purchased her back for her actions. And that's what I love about God, that man, God went and he, you know, I love even the story in Matthew 13:45, where it speaks about this pearl of great price. And it says the kingdom of heaven is like the pearl, it's like a merchant that's seeking precious pearls. And when he finds one, he goes and sells all that he has for
comes
this one.
And buy the whole land.
And now, mind you, I used to think this was us, especially with my mentality back in the day. I thought this was us, and we come, we find salvation, we find Jesus. You know, like the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, go sell all that you have and come follow me. I thought this was us, you know. We let go of every single thing, everything that is not in line. We let go of all our thoughts, all our desires, everything for this salvation, for Jesus, for the person of Jesus. Until I came to the understanding that, listen, you cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn God's love. You cannot work for it. What God's love was never based on who, what you do. But man, God is just love and he loves you. And so this pearl actually was speaking about us. And then when God found us, when God created us, he went and bankrupted heaven. Took his only son and sent him to die on the cross just to have intimacy with us. Man, what a love. What a love. Man, and I think, you know what's so freeing is that when you come to an understanding of who's God, who's who God is, when you come to an understanding that he is love and that he is for you, it makes you bold. It makes you fearless. I love even just the story of David. You know, in Samuel, it speaks about when he had seen the Philistine, he said, he never considered himself for his stature. But he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to come against the army of the Lord? And so when you understand the magnitude of who God is and that you dwell in him and he dwells in you, that he is love, that he is for you, that he's overcome the enemy, that man, he is so infatuated with who you are, it makes you bold to stand in the face of the enemy and tell him, who are you uncircumcised?
Who are you uncircumcised? That's right.
Who are you to tell me that I am not loved? Who are you to tell me that I am poor? Who are you to tell me that I am to walk in shame? Who are you to tell me that I am not righteous? Who are you to tell me that I am a sinner? I'm so sorry, but I have something for you today. And that is the love of God that declares that I am loved. I am chosen. I am righteous. I am his beloved. And you know what? It's not based on who I am, but it's all based on who he is
That's
and the fact that I find myself in him.
Amen.
So child of God, you can see right now. The devil has been lying to you, telling you that God is punishing you. Amen. God, you know, sometimes when people do that, I always ask them, so what is the devil doing, by the way? Is he on leave?
Blame on God and everything.
Is he on holiday? Yeah, yeah. Where did he go to? Because it's like God does good and then changes around and does bad. Okay, what does the devil do, by the way? You know, and all these things. You know, but then we use the devil just to justify our action. The devil made me. You know, but, you know, then we attribute all the bad things. And Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's how much God loves you. He did not wait for you to be perfect. Mm-hmm. He just sent Jesus to die for you whilst you were still a sinner. Here's Yolanda Adams saying, be blessed. That's us saying, be blessed by this message.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus here.
You're listening to Father's Love on Radio Cape Pulpit, 729 AM.
Yes, you heard right. You're listening to the Father's Love show with Bongani and, of course, the beautiful Lindy. And we have Kezia, who's on fire. And unfortunately, man, Lindy, I don't like this time.
Can we rewind?
You know, I don't like this time of the show. I can tell you now. Where we say our goodbyes. Kezia, your final words, ma'am, unfortunately.
I think, just like Yolanda, as you said, be blessed. But be blessed by the understanding that, man, God loves you.
Loves you.
It's not based on who you are. It's not based on what you've done. But, man, it's because He's love.
Amen. It's based on who He is. Lindy, your final words, ma'am.
My final words. Where can I start? So many things to say, but one thing that Jesus just said when we were off the break, he said, God can never be disappointed in you.
Amen.
If you could take that word, that truth as a young person, that God can never be disappointed, you know, in you. Whatever that you go through, don't run away from God.
Come on.
But run to Him.
Amen. Don't run away from God, but run to Him. I tell you, child of God, you know, God even says it, that even if your mother and your father can forsake you, He will never forsake you. He'll be with you until the end of the age. Before anything, before the world is folded up, God will never stop loving on you. God will never stop doing good. You know, the Bible says that He who has begun a good work in your life will surely finish it until the day of Jesus. So until Jesus comes back, God will never stop doing good in your life. And yes, child of God, you qualify, because Paul says it in Colossians chapter 1 in verses 12, that we have been qualified to partake, you know, in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So God has qualified you to partake. Yes, you qualify to be blessed. You qualify to be healed. You qualify to be promoted.
Right,
you qualify to prosper. You qualify for all the good things, child
all
of God.
All the promises.
I tell you, just like Kezia shared about the prodigal son or the lost son, when he came back home, he was given the best robe, and the best robe in the house belonged to the father. Mm-hmm. You know, he was given new sandals, man. He was talking about the walk, that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. He was given the ring. That speaks of covenant, new covenant. And that ring, that boy could go in a shop or go to any mall or any restaurant and buy, when they ask in whose account, and he says, my father's account. And Jesus said, whatsoever we ask, we must ask in His name. In Jesus' name. So child of God, I tell you, and He did not put any conditions. He did not put any conditions. As long as you have given your life to the Lord, you know, as long as you believe in Jesus, John 1:12 says, to all who believe, He gave them the right to be called the sons of God. Tell you what, the children of God. So tell you what, you are part of the family. Yep. That is me saying my last words. So I love you guys. Enjoy your holiday tomorrow. Go out there and celebrate as young people. Yeah. I tell you, same place, same time next week. Me and Lindy were here with another special guest. So you better make sure you don't miss this show, because lives are transformed.
This
in this show, we say there's a solution to all that you're going through, and it's found in the Word of God.
Word of God.
At the top of the hour, at 1 o'clock, Gilmer Standa is here with the news, and afterwards, Leif Stale. So don't you change that dial. Kezia, thank you so very much for your precious time, and thank you so very much for going to the throne room of God and download such messages. Therefore, we pray that may God continue to bless you, keep you, smile towards your direction as He lifts up your countenance.
And open more doors to share this truth.
Lalela. Okay. Can we go now?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, let's go. We're gone. We love you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.